Sometimes we allow our feelings to overshadow our faith. Instead of stepping forward in faith, we guard our personal comfort at all costs. And we often allow the loudest voices in our lives to shape our goals for the future. These three common pitfalls can impede our journey of faith. And today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll invites us to follow along in Hebrews chapter 11 as we discover three alternative responses that will radically transform our lives. With his final sermon in the classic biographical series on Moses, Chuck titled today's message, Moses' Faith, Moses' Choices, and Me.
Moses, having become great, made a decision. He came to the fork in the road when he had to make a choice. Observe in verse 24, he had to decide whether he would allow them to continue to call him the Pharaoh elect or not. The scripture says he, quote, denied it to be said, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's literally what it reads. There was a time, maybe he stood up in a court, maybe he said it to the soft-footed servants who waited on his every whim. Maybe he announced it to his grandfather, who was Pharaoh. Maybe he told his adoptive mother, the daughter of Pharaoh. But one day he said, no longer call me your son. I'm not available for the throne. I don't want that. I refuse to be called that any longer. Reminds me of Daniel, who stood alone in the Babylonian court, Hebrew through and through, surrounded by Babylonian lifestyle, saying, I will not eat the king's food. I will not adopt the king's lifestyle. I will not go the king's route. I am first and foremost a believer in Jehovah. He has my allegiance. He has my loyalty. I will live, and if necessary, I will die for his honor. This man has integrity. He comes to the Y, and he makes a decision, refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. How could he do that? Look at the next two verses and circle the words choosing, considering. The first words of the next two verses. By faith, when he was grown up, he refused something. How could he do that? Well, verse 25 says, he made a choice. Choosing. It comes from the Greek word that means to take for oneself a position. What did he choose? 25. He chose rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than the passing pleasures of sin. Moses, having taken a position concerning his walk with the Lord, made a decision that was neither popular nor advantageous materially. He pulled off the headgear of the Pharaoh. He pushed aside the palace of the queen. He set aside all of the prerogatives that would be his to enjoy for the rest of his life without question. And he chose to live with the people of God. Don't think for a moment that the Bible is simply embellishing the text by saying enjoying the pleasures of sin. The pleasures of sin are always initially more enjoyable than the walk of righteousness. Always. Initially. Your heart beats faster when you're around it. It is voluptuous and it is seductive. And it feeds the flesh and it makes you feel good. And don't let anybody ever tell you that it doesn't and it won't. And it will bring regular satisfaction for a period of time. Moses chose the path of godliness rather than the passing pleasures of sin. How could he do that? What was it inside Moses that caused him to make that choice? Next verse. Considering. That's why I want you to circle it. Considering. It means to think beforehand. Isn't that interesting? To see ahead. To look further than the yoke in the fork. To see beyond. Moses came to the fork in the road and he realized, if I continue to be called Pharaoh's daughter, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, if I continue to be called the Pharaoh elect, if I continue to amass this fortune and win these awards and gain the statesmanship of these people, I will indeed be in a place where I cannot turn back without damage to the nation, without damage to my soul, because with it come those perks that say, come on, come on. Everybody does it. He says, no, I see far enough down the road to know that that will not be good, but bad. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. That's a great word. Looking away from everything else. It's a compound verb. Looking away from everything else and fixing one's full attention on one thing. Moses looked away from everything else and he got a fixation on Christ. And he made that choice. The reason there's no Sphinx in Egypt bearing the image of Moses is that he refused to sustain the sinful. There is no earthly monument. There isn't even a handprint pushed into wet cement that bears the name Moses. He's forgotten in Egypt. But he's honored in heaven. He gave up the earthly academy for the eternal reward. There's another. Look at the second. By faith, he left Egypt. Now, you circle the word refused. Now, circle the word left. He left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. And here we have him again, as seeing him who is unseen. See the fixation? See the focus? This was no Sunday go to meeting kind of a guy. This was no religious hot and cold creature. This man has fixed his attention on Jehovah. And so, verse 27, he determines to leave the familiar. By faith, he left Egypt. He knew nothing but Egypt. He had never been to Canaan. He knew only Egypt, but he left it. Why? Well, you just read. Because of faith. God led him out. God moved him. He determined to leave the familiar, even though Egypt was in his blood. Negatively, he didn't fear that's always going to be there. He didn't fear what the king would do against him. Positively, he was looking ahead, seeing the one who was unseen. He left Egypt. He burnt the bridges. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. He took off. I love the way one man put it. We live by faith or we do not live at all. Either we venture or we vegetate. We risk or we rust. There's no Sphinx in Egypt today because Moses left Egypt. Who needs Egypt when God says, there's an exodus in my plan? If you're committed to Egypt more than an exodus, you're not committed to God. Now, there's a third, and I think of the three, it's pretty close to my favorite. He was willing to do the unusual. He refused a sinful pleasures. He left the familiar. But look at verse 28. Picture it. Act like there's never been a Passover, because when he did it, there hadn't ever been. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. You know the story? Moses had come to Pharaoh time after time after time saying, let my people go, let my people go. He wouldn't do it. Finally, God said to Moses, I'm going to send a death angel. He'll let them go. I'll strike every home except one special group of homes. Now, I'm not going to tell you where I'm reading or from what version. I just want you to hear it. Listen. It's what they were supposed to do if they were going to be preserved from death. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. The same night they're to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Still listening? This brand new stuff. It had never been done before. Do not leave any of it till the morning. If some is left till morning, burn it. This is how you're to eat it. With your cloak tucked under your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. On the same night, I'll pass through Egypt and I'll strike down every firstborn. But you have your staff in your hand, you have your cloak under your belt, you have your sandals on, you be ready to run. Because I'm coming. And you're going to hear them screaming. But you got blood on your door and I'll pass over you. You got to be kidding. Blood? Yeah. Maybe my blood? No. Lamb's blood. Lamb's blood. You're telling me that I don't even have to lock my door? Don't lock your door. Now, here's a guy with an advanced degree in hieroglyphics. He graduated from the Temple of the Sun. He's got a chest full of medals, and he's out there smearing blood on the side of his door and on the top of his door. What are you doing? I'm keeping the death angel away. Oh, yeah. Sure. Can you imagine? I mean, we look at that like it was high and holy, and indeed it was. Of course, in principle it was. But imagine the mockery that these Hebrews lived with, people that weren't going to do that. Death angel coming, I'm closing the windows. I'm taking a trip. We're getting together with a bunch of people down at the gym. I mean, there's stone walls down there. Well, we're just putting blood on our door. Why? Because, sounds unusual, but God says if we sprinkle blood here, death won't come in. That night, the screaming started. It came from Memphis and swept all the way up through the valley toward the land of Goshen. You never heard such screaming. Kids dying like flies. And here is this little Hebrew couple standing there with a staff and a cloak and sandals and roasted lamb about to make an exodus. What an unusual thing. There's no tradition to fall back on. How could he do it? He could do it the same way Noah could nail nails into the ark, and there'd never been a rain. He could do it the same way Abraham and Sarah could go out to look for a city that had a foundation, whose builder and maker was God, and they'd never been to the land of Canaan. He could do it because God said, do it. My friend, there's no hocus pocus in this talk. This isn't a talk addressed to preachers or missionaries per se. This is to people just like us. Just everyday garden variety folks, young and old alike, single and married, retired and youthful. All cross-section of America can apply this in three areas. What about you in all of this? You know, I haven't let you stay out of the picture entirely, but let's put you right in the center of the picture. Here's the first. To have the discernment it takes to refuse the sinful, faith must overshadow my feelings. Let me say it again. To have the discernment it takes to refuse the sinful, my faith must overshadow my feelings. My feelings say run, Faith says, stand still. My feelings say, try it. Faith says, stay away from it. My feelings say, can't you remember the Academy Award winning song? If it feels so good, how could it be wrong? If it's so right, how can it be wrong? You know, I mean, it feels right. It feels right. We're in a day of feelings. Whatever you feel like, get at it. Faith says, hold it. You've come to a fork in the road. If you take that journey, you're going to buy a lifestyle that is wrong. Back up. Look again. Some of you are right there. Some of you have made the choice. It's time to back up. Takes discernment. You can do it. Second, to have the determination it takes to leave the familiar, faith must be my security. To have the determination it takes to leave the familiar, faith must be my security. That's how come you can have a Larry and Rhonda Satig and two kids over there in Spain secure. Even though they had whatever you could name right here going for them. And I could name 36 other couples and more represented by our assembly. Their faith has become their security. Their walk with God is their security, not where they live. Remember Corrie ten Boom's words? I'll give them to you one more time. I've learned to hold precious things loosely because it hurts when God pries my fingers and takes them from me. You hold your children loosely. Give of thy sons to bear the message glorious. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. Pour out thy soul for them in prayer victorious, and all thou spendest, Jesus will repay. You're rearing your children to keep or to give. Sometimes the kid's greatest battle in getting to the field is parents. They won't let them go. Give them. What a tremendous investment. Determination it takes to leave the familiar means that my faith must be my security. Here's a third. To have the discipline it takes to do the unusual, faith must silence the critics. You're going to have critics. You're going to have discipline to take that journey and to live with the mockery. You're going to have the kind of discipline it takes that says, Lord God, you've told me that's the journey to take. That's the way to walk. My critics are getting louder and more in number and closer. Silence them. Elton Trueblood said, faith is not belief without proof, but trust without reservation. He refused, he left. The third word to circle, he kept. He kept the Passover. What do you need to refuse? What do you need to leave? What do you need to keep? Everybody puts on these clothes in different ways, but everybody has all three to deal with. So do I, tell you the truth. I want to live my life so deep, just deep enough to say I am eternally committed to my Savior, but so available and free to Him that all it takes is a whisper, and I'm gone. And that for my children and my wife. I want that for us as a congregation. As a people of God. I'm aware that some of you are going through tremendous tests. It's very hard to go through that kind of test. But I want to challenge you as your pastor and as your friend that you remember your God in the hard times. You wouldn't have planned your life the way it's uncovered, but it's happened. What He takes or what He gives us shows the Father's love so precious. It's It's been a long time since there has been true thanksgiving flowing from the table or the hearth of your home, perhaps. Maybe it's time for that. Unusual. Not as unusual as the Passover, but unusual. Because at hard times, people complain and fight. I challenge you today to make your platform a platform of praise. And just open your heart to God and praise for what He's taken as well as for what He's given. For your future that seems so uncertain as well as the security of your past. Just give Him praise. That means you give Him first place in everything. I'd like us to bow together, please. I appreciate your listening. I know I'm hard to listen to today, and I appreciate your attention. I'd like to think you've listened to the truth of God's Word. I really feel the need right now to ask you to do a little searching. For some of you, it's long overdue. You've gone down that road, and to come back and do it all right, it's going to be hard. You're deciding now whether it's worth it. If you could put yourself in the skin of any Bible character, let me ask you to put yourself in the skin of Moses. Consider what he gave up and what he got in return. A monument in Egypt, a temporal sphinx or pyramid, a reward in heaven. Trust Christ today. Give Him your most priceless possession. First your life, then all that you are, by faith.
May we bow together this evening. I pray, Lord, that you would purify us as your people. You would make us jealous, hot after the heart of God. Make us very concerned about the details of our faith, so that we are a discerning people, not captured by the wind and the current and the flow of our times. Lord, I pray that you would stir us up, give us conviction, strength of character, inward courage, first as individuals and then as corporate members of your body. I pray tonight especially for those that are lonely, those who long to find companionship, direction in life, the love of a friend or a mate. How I pray that you would give them in the quiet times of their lives that solid consistency linked directly with your word. And from that source only may they find their encouragement and peace. Guide and guard, dear Father, as we have heard this information from your word, may we be very faithful to implement what we have heard. We commit to you our week and our lives tonight, Father. Through Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. And with his closing prayer, Chuck Swindoll concludes a classic biographical series on Moses that started back at the end of October. Chuck titled this study, A Man of Selfless Dedication. Well, this is the last day that we'll mention some special offers for the Moses series, so now's the time to reach out and request these helpful Bible study resources that we have for you. For instance, Chuck wrote a biography on Moses called A Man of Selfless Dedication. His book reads in narrative style, so you can step into the ancient world and feel as though you're walking right alongside Moses, from his earliest days to his sunset years. Whether you're a new Bible student or a biblical scholar, you'll appreciate the value of this comprehensive character study of Moses. You can find this book online at insight.org/store or call 800-772-8888. Also, Insight for Living has created a Bible study workbook on Moses. It's a spiral-bound treasure that contains 20 chapters, one for each sermon that Chuck presents. Many of our listeners have selected this Bible study to guide their conversations in a small group. And of course, it's perfect for your personal devotions as well. To purchase the Searching the Scriptures Bible Study for Moses, go to insight.org/workbooks. On tomorrow's program, Chuck will begin our next series. This time, it's a topical series called The Mystery of God's Will, and it's perfectly suited as we establish our plans for the new year. In closing, we'd like to say thank you to all those who give faithfully to Insight for Living. This Bible teaching ministry started in 1979, and from the very first broadcast, Insight for Living has been sustained by the voluntary donations of grateful listeners just like you. And no one makes a bigger difference than our monthly companions. A monthly companion is someone who agrees to give a contribution every month. You can join the family today by going online to insight.org/monthly-companion. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to hear Chuck Swindoll begin our next series called The Mystery of God's Will, Friday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Moses Faith, Moses Choices, and Me, was copyrighted in 1982, 1983, 1985, 1990, 1998, and 2024. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.